Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We just listened to one of the New Testament's most famous phrases. "No, my kingdom is not of this world." And Jesus affirms that his kingdom doesn't belong to the world. In this dialogue with Pilate, you remember before Pilate being tried, before his crucifixion, it is a beautiful scene that kind of symbolizes, represents these two conceptions of authority, right? You have Pilate, the man given authority by the Romans in a foreign land over a foreign people to exercise authority of domination over the Jews. Then you have this Jesus, upstart, small village, who has a following of people who believe in his message, this kind of popular devotion to him, and he's arrested trying to control that movement, and he's brought before Pilate, and the two are in the same room discussing authority, right? And the worldly authority asks the spiritual authority, "So are you a king? Do you really have power?" And Jesus is like helping him to see what's the root of his authority. What's the root of his power? "You say that I'm a king." Like, he's like, what do you really think the essence of authority in kingship is over people? And ultimately, Jesus founds it with this response. "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, for this I came into the world." Like, this is my purpose. This is my mission. My mission isn't to gain authority. My mission is to testify to the truth. "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The ultimate authority is the truth, of which I am a witness. And Jesus did say earlier on, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He certainly claims to be one and the same thing. I am the truth. And in fact, that's the authority of you and I, you Pilate, me Jesus. That's the real question. What's the truth? And isn't that what Pilate asks? What is truth? He's starting to get it, that the ultimate foundation of authority isn't elections, or is it? It's a truth that people believe and know and understand and build their life around. That's what we celebrate today, the kingship of Jesus, the authority of Jesus Christ. But his kingdom is not fully of this world. It certainly expresses itself in this world through the church. But ultimately, its ultimate foundation, its throne, is in heaven. Pope Benedict, in explaining this feast, said Jesus did not come to rule over peoples and territories, right? Like a mere political kind of earthly. The Pope pointed out, but to set people free from the slavery of sin and to reconcile them with God. So Jesus' goal isn't to rule over peoples merely or territories, but to set people free from slavery of sin and reconcile them with God. And then, through that, to be leaven, certainly in the world, to be light, to influence leadership, to influence political systems, to influence the way the world is arranged. See, Jesus comes to attack the true enemy, the true other person who claims to have authority, and that is the devil. He tried to tempt our first parents to separate themselves from their true source of authority and love, which was God, who created them and gave them everything, and to convince them they had ultimate authority over themselves. They could be independent of God. He lied to them, led them to their disobeying, and convinced them that was a liberating path. Jesus came to save us from that lie, bring back a truth, witness to that truth, and hopefully convince us that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And this ultimate truth is that God is love. Now, that can seem very abstract. You know, if we walk into the Capitol building and say, no, everybody, you know, God is love. We used to laugh. We had a priest who used to, he was an Irishman from Long Island, or he was American, but Irish descent, Long Island. And he was a very simple soul, still is. He's works in a parish down in Atlanta now, but he lived up here for a little bit. He's about 65, 67. And he used to always, just as we were talking over contentious issues over the breakfast table or lunch table, and he says, but fathers, why can't everyone just understand that God is love? You know? We used to laugh. He was on to something, because ultimately that is the answer. That we can trust God's authority, that he's not our enemy, but actually in loving and giving over our freedom, trying to conform it to his, he has the same interest, ennobling us, saving us, loving us, lifting us up. It's the relationship of father and child. The child can trust the parent because all the parent wants is the good of the child. It's a virtuous cycle of mutual trust and love. And in fact, that's what sets us free, right? That's what sets us free. The way to reach this goal is long and admits of no shortcuts, this goal of recognizing the love of God. Every person must freely accept the truth of God's love, says Pope Benedict, or said Pope Benedict. He is the love and truth. Neither love nor truth are ever imposed. They come knocking at the door of the heart and the mind, and where they can enter, they bring peace and joy. This is how God reigns. This is the project of salvation. It's a mystery in the biblical sense of the word, a plan that's gradually revealed in history. And Jesus reveals that in front of Pilate. Pilate's asking him, and Jesus, rather than impose it, rather than to use his force, remember he said, if, you know, my people could, I could send down 12 angels, you know, thousands of angels. If my people were really, my kingdom were up, they would fight. But that's not the way we're going about it. He didn't impose it on Pilate. He witnessed to it. Some of you know I'm helping promote a play of St. Bernadette of Subaru, the visionary of Lourdes, trying to bring it to the U.S. We're not trying. We will bring it to the U.S. It's under production right now. But one of the interesting lines in this movie is when the police are interrogating this little Bernadette about her seeing the Virgin, one of the key lines is police saying, you know, what did she tell you that you had to tell us and convince us? And don't try coming in here and convincing of this thing that you say you see. And her response is, Our Lady did not ask me to convince you, just to tell you. In fact, as Christians, often we're not called to convince the world necessarily. We're called to witness to the world. And hopefully they'll receive that witness and become convinced. But it's a proposal. It's a testimony. It's an offering. God is love, and love is never forced. It's offered as a gift. And the root of this offering of Jesus, as we said, is the truth, to testify to the truth. There's three ways we can understand truth. I'd like to touch on them briefly before we wrap up. First, truth can refer to facts. We've heard a lot of this in the political conversation the last couple months, right? Facts. Her truth refers to facts, to way things are. Now, it's difficult because some facts are presented as facts and they're not. But that's what we're trying to get to, the truth of the way things are. Jesus, on the cross, bears witness to the fact that God is not primarily power, anger, or even justice. Jesus showed that God is mercy, total self-sacrifice, that the identity of God isn't imposition, but love and self-giving. That's a fact. That's not a belief. It is a belief, but it's based on a fact. Jesus came and revealed the Father. He could have done it a different way. He could have imposed it on Pilate. He could have come. He came and witnessed to it at his own death, his own cost of his own life. That's what authenticates his testimony, his witness. He is love. That's a fact. The second, truths can refer to morality, of the right way of behaving. That's a true action, a true choice. That's right, right? In this sense, Jesus on the cross bore witness to the real standard of our moral choices. Not personal comfort or self-indulgence or individual opinion, but following God's will out of love, right? As St. Paul explained, Jesus was glorified because he was obedient unto death, even death on a cross, right? Obedience to God's will, to his commandments. That's the source of spiritual health and fruitfulness. Disobeying God's commands is self-destructive, right? As if a tree were to uproot itself from the soil in order to be more free. Imagine a tree says, I don't like being stuck here. This ain't freedom. I can't go anywhere. Let me just uproot myself and start walking around. That's the way to live. But would he really be free? Pretty soon, dried up and without fruit and dead and thrown in the fire. True freedom is within the nature God's given us, which is to love, living that way, bearing fruit. A little sidebar here. This is more of a little bit of a pet peeve, so pardon me, but hopefully you'll catch it. I've been in several conversations the last couple of weeks where someone has brought up something that they disagree with, right? And they always use the phrase, or always, they did in all of these conversations, use the phrase, I feel like, and then they go on to say what they think or what is their opinion. I feel like, you know, it should be this way. When they're not really saying it should be, I believe this, right? But they couch it in feeling, and I feel like that it should be. It's very difficult to argue with somebody's feelings, right? So it's like, okay, you feel like that, you know? I feel like the church should let priests get married. Okay, glad you feel that way. Or I feel like it doesn't depend on feelings when you're discussing truth. Actually, good feelings are ones that little by little conform to the truth. I don't feel like getting up today. Well, if you say, I have a responsibility to, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a mother, etc. I have to go to school. So that's ennobling when our feelings aren't the last word. And sometimes in morality, that's often the case. I feel like I should. Well, it's good to recognize those are your feelings, but they shouldn't be the ultimate judge of what you do and say it should be the truth. We witness to the truth. We don't witness to our feelings. Third truth refers to trustworthiness and dependability, talking about being truthful. It's kind of, when somebody's truthful, when a friend is true, you say we can count on them. And Jesus on the cross proves without any doubt that God is trustworthy, that no matter what, we can count on him. He's willing to pay the ultimate price for us. God is so faithful that he didn't abandon or give up on us, even when we abandon and give up on him. He continues to witness to the truth of God's love, even at the cost of his life. That's the truth that will set us free from sin. That's the truth that sets us free from slavery, even the slavery of our own preferences at times, our own confusion at times. So, brothers and sisters, as we continue this Mass where we celebrate Jesus's kingship, his sacrifice on the altar for us, so we celebrate him who says, you know, I want to be king, but I'm not going to take it from you. You have to enthrone me. You have to accept me. I propose it. I witness to it. I lay down my life for it. But it's up to you to freely choose and accept my authority. Let's, in this Mass, invite Jesus in a deeper way in our own hearts and our own minds, our own lives, our own choices. Accept that love. Don't resist that love. Don't try to outthink that love. Don't try to be such a critical thinker that you think yourself right after out of a free gift of God's love. Right? Embrace it, accept it as the gift that it is, and then live in that freedom of that space, conforming our hearts and our minds to the truth that God reveals. Amen.